worship him in spirit and in truth. Last week we finished looking at the people of the town coming to Christ, and then here at the end of the chapter, Jesus leaves the city and moves on in his ministry. In verse 43, after 2 days, he departed thence and went into Galilee, for Jesus himself testified that a prophet hath no honor in his own country. Then, when he was come into Galilee, the Galileans received him, having seen all the things that he did at Jerusalem at the feast, for they also went unto the feast. So Jesus came again into Cana of Galilee, where he made the water wine. And there was a certain nobleman whose son was sick at Capernaum. When he heard that Jesus was come out of Judea into Galilee, he went unto him and besought him that he would come down and heal his son, for he was at the point of death. Then said Jesus unto him, Except ye see signs and wonders, you will not believe. The nobleman saith unto him, Sir, come down, ere my child die. Jesus saith unto him, Go thy way, thy son liveth. And the man believed the word that Jesus had spoken unto him, and he went his way. And as he was now going down, his servants met him and told him, saying, Thy son liveth. Then inquired he of them the hour when he began to mend. And they said unto him, Yesterday at the seventh hour that the fever left him. So the father knew that it was at that same hour in the which Jesus said unto him, Thy son liveth. And himself believed in his whole house. This is again the second miracle that Jesus did when he was come out of Judea into Galilee. So believed the word. Let's pray. Lord, use your word now to teach us tonight. We thank you for it and the privilege to assemble and to hear from you, and pray the Holy Spirit would be able to touch every one of our hearts through this powerful book. We are grateful and love you. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. So we see that Jesus reminded everyone, and we've heard him say this, that prophets, the place where he can be least effective is around his own family. And it's, we all see that it's true. And Christ said this in most of the Gospels. Let's look at Mark chapter 6, and we'll see one of the parallel statements to this truth. Probably one of the reasons why missions works, huh? Because when it's a missionary, it's from someone from somewhere else, so people are more likely to listen. Mark chapter 6, verse 4. But Jesus said unto them, A prophet is not without honor, but in his own country and among his own kin and in his own house. And we all know it's true. The hardest people to witness to are our own family, our extended family, because they know us. They know we're sinners. They know our weaknesses. They know our foibles. And so it's harder for them to listen when we try to tell them about Christ. So in the midst of all of this, Jesus, the whole story is primarily about this nobleman. And verse 47, he besought him that he would come down and heal his son, for he was at the point of death. So the key here was he literally begged Jesus for the healing of his son. He was at the point of death. So whatever was wrong, he was on his deathbed. And he wasn't going to go away easily. He besought, he begged. And you know, God wants us to be the same. It's okay to beseech the Lord. And there's a couple of scriptures in Luke I want to show you about this. Luke 11:8 is a parable that he told. And then Luke 18, he told two different parables in Luke about prayer and about beseeching the Lord. Notice Luke 11:8, he said, And I say unto you, though he will not rise and give him because he is his friend, yet because of his importunity, he will rise and give him as many as he needeth. Now, that word importunity is a fancy word that basically means not give up. And then look at Luke 18. So what is God saying? Don't give up. And I've heard people say, oh, should we just pray for something once and then stop because we prayed for it and God knows and we asked. God tells us this, the opposite, doesn't he, in these parables. In Luke 18, verse 7, And shall not God avenge his own elect, which cry day and night unto him, though he bear long with them? So the teaching of these, both of these parables is don't quit. Don't stop. Just keep praying. And this nobleman was not going to quit. He was going to keep asking because Jesus said, except you be see sign wonders, you will not believe. In other words, it was kind of like with the Gentile woman. Remember who he said, I'm not going to take the food and cast it to the dogs. And she said, yeah, but the dogs eat the crumbs from the master's table. And then he marveled at her faith and gave her her request. She wasn't going to quit. This man, Jesus said, oh, unless you see sign and wonders, you won't believe. And the nobleman said, sir, come down ere my child die. And I'm not going to quit asking. So he asked this second time, please. And I just love this. Go thy way, thy son liveth. Jesus didn't have to go to the house. He didn't have to touch the child. He just made it so. And we must never forget about the power of the spoken word of Jesus Christ. It made the universe. Amen? Think about that. He spoke and created. 2 Thessalonians 2, let's turn over there. And I just want us to be reminded about the power of the spoken word of Jesus Christ. Here he is in the middle of his ministry. He's got the disciples traveling with him. And he just speaks a word. And a child in some other city is instantly healed of a deathly illness. 2 Thessalonians 2, 8, this is when Jesus Christ returns to the earth at the end of the tribulation period. The Bible says, and when then shall that wicked be revealed, whom the Lord shall consume with the spirit of his mouth. It's talking about the devil, the Antichrist. And the Bible says he will consume him with the spirit of his mouth, the power of his spoken word. And then go to Revelation 19, where we read about the return of Jesus as well. Again, at the end of the tribulation, we see Jesus coming from heaven on a white horse to set up his kingdom to conquer. And notice Revelation 19:15. Out of his mouth goeth a sharp sword, that with it he should smite the nations, and he shall rule them with a rod of iron, and he treadeth the winepress of the fierceness and wrath of Almighty God. We all know what that sharp sword is, don't we? Because we're told in Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12, the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. And we're told in Ephesians 6, the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. So the spoken word of Jesus Christ is so powerful. And he demonstrated that here in his second miracle. Of course, the first one was the water to wine. But here in his second miracle, he just spoke the word. And this child was healed. And Jesus knew where the man lived. The man didn't tell him. Knew who he was. Knew who the child was. And just spoke the word and healed him. What a miracle. That Christ, because of he's God, he was able to just say, he's healed. And no one had to travel back home to find out whether or not it happened. And of course, he found out, sure enough, it happened right when he said. So verse 50, the man believed the word. Here's the key, isn't it? He believed the word. That's really the key to everything. Believe the word. Believe the word about God. Believe the word about salvation. Believe the word about sin. Believe the word. Jesus, if you go to Mark chapter 9, said this is the key to faith. It's not the amount. It is the direction, like we talked about recently. Mark 9:23. Jesus saith unto him, if thou canst believe, all things are possible to him that believeth. And straightway the father of the child cried out and said with tears, Lord, I believe, help thou mine unbelief. The man believed the word. Go to Romans 4, if you would, 21, where again Paul explains, Romans 4:21, how important it is that we believe the word of God. And being fully persuaded that what he had promised, he was able also to perform. It's okay to claim the promises of God, amen, and believe them. It's okay. God wants us to do that. And it comes down to the word, even for the lost, doesn't it? You know, when the rich man went to hell in Luke 16, and he was speaking to Abraham across the great gulf, he said, send someone back to tell my brothers about this place. He said, they have Moses and the prophets. If they hear not Moses and the prophets, they won't believe. Even if someone comes back from the dead, if they won't believe the word, they won't believe. And it's true today. It comes down to whether or not people will believe the word. You know, Mary's statues can cry blood and they can find Noah's Ark and all of these other things. It's not going to change people's hearts. They have to believe the word. And that's never been different. And 2 Thessalonians 2:12, let's turn there. This is talking about those in the tribulation who will be damned. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, and notice verse 12. It says that they all might be damned who what? Believe not the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness because they believed not. The key is you must believe. And by the way, that's the key verse of John, isn't it? Believe. 100 times in John is the word believe used. So what's exciting is this man not only believed the word that Jesus spoke and his son was healed, but he also believed as a result on Christ. And his whole house got saved. How exciting is that? Due to this one miracle, verse 53, the father knew that it was at that same hour in which Jesus said unto him, thy son liveth, and himself believed, and his whole house. Isn't that good? Reminds me of Acts 16, when they were answering the Philippian jailer, believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved, and thy house. And the whole Philippian jailer's house got saved, and they all got baptized that night. It always comes down to that word, believe. The man believed the word that Christ would heal his son, so he believed in the power of Christ to heal, but then afterward he believed on the person of Christ and his whole house. And that is the key. Jesus said, he that believeth on me hath everlasting life. It's all about faith. It's all about believing on the Lord Jesus Christ. And 1 John 5:10, we'll finish there tonight. But he believed the word, and that's what God wants. He wants the unsaved to believe the word, which tells us the gospel of Jesus, and he wants the saved to believe the word when it comes to God's love for us, God's patience with us, God's mercy, God's blessings, God's presence, his chastisement. Believe the word. 1 John 5:10, look what it says. He that believeth on the Son of God hath the witness in himself. And he that believeth not, God hath made him a liar, because he believeth not the record that God gave of his son. The record. You're holding it in your hands. You must believe the record that God gave of his son to be saved. And then, as a Christian, we're not going to grow unless we believe God's word in every aspect of our Christian lives. So how beautiful that this man went to beseech Christ on the behalf of his son, and as a result, he and his whole house got saved. Praise God. So the miracle didn't just result in a young child being healed, but it also resulted in a whole household coming to Christ. And who knows who else as a result. How many people have been saved just because of that in the past 2,000 years? We don't know. But believe the word. That is the key for us and for the world. So let's share it. Let's pray. Thank you, Lord, for your word. Thank you.